May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 184. Our fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. 184.
Thank you.
And let us read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer. Oh, do help us now, dear Lord, to come low to thy feet. We have nothing to bring of our own. We can only plead before thee, foolish and impotent and blind. Lead me the way thy saints have known. Lord, we pray for mercy, that thou wilt not cast us away as our sins deserve, that thou wilt look upon us in all our weakness, our vileness, our wretched state before thee, and have compassion on us, Lord, and empty send us not away. Oh, we would hear thy pardoning voice. Oh, speak and bid our souls rejoice. May there this day be something done in our hearts, the heart of each one of us. Wilt thou come and convince of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come, and lead us in faith to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, we must each stand before thy judgment seat. We must each come to the day of our death. None can say how nigh. O Lord, do prepare us for that great and awful day. Witness in our hearts that we are born of God, that thou hast saved us with an everlasting salvation, that thou hast given thy dear Son a ransom for us, that he has suffered in our place for every one of our great sins against thee. O Lord, this is a wonder, a miracle of grace if thou hast saved us. But O Lord, we have nowhere else to fly. We can only cry unto thee for mercy, for peace, for the love of God which passeth knowledge. Oh, that we might be found in Christ Jesus and clothed in his righteousness. Lord, we ask that thou wilt remember each soul that is gathered here today. We pray also for those who could not gather with us. For, Lord, thou art not bound to means or place. Visit each one with thy salvation. And Lord, we beseech thee that the work of the Lord may prosper in our midst, that thy name may be glorified here, that thou hast rescued sinners from their sins' deserts, from eternal damnation, that thou hast translated them into the kingdom of thy dear Son. O Lord, we would humble ourselves low at thy feet, for we ourselves have nothing good to plead before thee, but we would come as worms of the earth, confessing our faults under the temptations of the wicked one, the evil designs of our own hearts. Lord, it must be a miracle if thou wilt save us. And yet our Jesus is the God of miracles. And we look to him now. Jesus, wilt thou smile upon our souls? Grant us grace
Lead us forth by the right way, that we might go to a city of habitation. And we do ask, Lord, that as we meet in the house of prayer, that the word may be profitable to our souls. Oh, may the Holy Ghost take something and fasten it with power in our souls. Do help our brother to read. Do grant that it may be a word which is a living word to our souls. May none go empty away from the house of prayer. May there be a beating out of that which we have gleaned. May there be a humbling of ourselves low before thee. Mercy, Lord, our only plea. We ask that thou wilt remember us as a church and congregation. Lord, we pray that thou wilt send thy servants time after time with the word of the Lord for our souls, that we may be given ears to hear, that the word may enter in and do our souls good, that we may feast upon divine certainties, the love of Christ to the very worst of sinners. So we pray, do come, help us today, help us in the unknown way. Bless each case. Lord, each case is known unto thee, and thou art able to suit the word to each one, to give each one something to take away and to meditate therein, and to cry unto thee that thou wilt cause thy word to come to pass. Remember every soul that is in trouble, everyone that has come up pleading, Lord, help me. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. O Lord, grant deliverance. When all looks black, all things look impossible, when we feel we should prove to be but hypocrites at the last, out of the secret, not knowing the life and power of God within, O Lord, appear. Turn our darkness into day. Manifest that thou art the God that rules and reigns on high, and that thou wilt work mightily for us and grant deliverance. May our wisdom be found in God and not in the foolish wisdom of men. O Lord, we ask that thou wilt remember our little ones. Lord, we can see that they are growing up into a world which is so outwardly wicked and against the things of God, and would draw them away from all that is good and right, and plant in their minds that which is evil. O Lord, protect them, uphold them. Grant that each one of them may be found a pillar in the house of prayer in days to come, if it might be thy holy sovereign will, that they may prove to be vessels of mercy ordained unto everlasting life. And Lord, as some are hoping, if it be thy will, to raise up a school for Christian children, we pray that thou wilt be their helper, that thou wilt guide them right, and that they may be enabled to fall into thy hands, saying, Lord, direct us. We are fools. Guide us right. Bring us through. Keep us in the fear of the Lord, and may thy will be done. We do pray for our nation, Lord. We ask that thou wilt appear. Oh Lord, what turmoil we are in, and our leaders do not look to the law of the Lord as far as we can tell, but rather they are determined in their opposition to thee and thy ways. Surely the spirit of Antichrist is at large in our land, and we feel the oppositions. Lord, only thou canst overcome. Only thou canst turn the hearts and minds of men. We pray that it might be a time of reviving yet, a time when thy spirit will work, and that men will turn to seek thee in their time of distress. May it be for the glory of thy great and holy name. And Lord, as we pray for each soul here, so we would pray for those round about us, begging that if it be thy good pleasure, thy word may be spread in this neighbourhood, and that many may be constrained to turn in to hear the word of the Lord. It is not beyond thy power. Oh, may we be enabled to pray with faith in thy name. We do ask, Lord, that thou wilt grant us hearts to pray truly the words that our Lord Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from and Lord, forgive our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever. Amen. And now, Lord, we ask, abide with us. Grant thy quickening spirit, work mightily in our midst. Do be with thy servant this morning who is elsewhere, and bring him up this evening, and may the word of the Lord have free course and be glorified. We ask all these things, not worthy of the least of them, putting our mouths in the dust in confession. It must be all of grace. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn 143. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. 143. I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Popham. You will find the words of the text in the chapter we read, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If we enter into the context, it will give to us an added beauty in respect of this so beautiful, suitable, and blessed invitation to come to Christ. Christ is the He of the third verse. Art thou He that should come, or do we look for another? This question, put to the Lord Jesus Christ by John the Baptist through two of his disciples, may show us how faith depends on divine communications. Faith is the creation of God, and it cannot live by itself. It is created in the heart by the Holy Spirit and must be nourished by bread which comes down from heaven. John had seen Christ, had preached Christ, and had testified powerfully of him. He was not a reed shaken with the wind. He was not tossed about as to his doctrine. He distinctly saw the sign which God had given him concerning the person of Christ. And he had said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But John was now in prison. It would seem that he had received no visit from Christ, no communication, and no inward working of the Holy Spirit. Hearing that Christ was going about doing good, and thinking he was somewhat neglected himself, the question arose whether or not he had been deceived. So to put the matter out of doubt, he sent two of his disciples to the Lord Jesus and said, Art thou he that should come? Why, there is no other he in the whole of creation, in heaven, in earth, in the Bible, in the hearts of saints. There is no other he. There had been an Abraham, there had been Isaac, Jacob, Melchizedek, and David. And the prophet. All of these men, none answered to this he. Moses was his type and said to Israel, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things. Samuel spoke of him and said that he, the Lord Jesus, should be as a morning without clouds. As clear shining after rain. David, the man after God's own heart, had also prophesied of Christ. For Christ had spoken, as it were, in the person of David, saying, Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Isaiah, that gospel prophet, had spoken of Christ in his 53rd chapter, setting out Jesus Christ, the substitute of his people, their sin-bearer, pouring out his soul unto death, that they, the dead, might live. Nahum and all the prophets spoke of him. I say, there was no other he. The Lord Jesus Christ is the person in view in John the Baptist's question in verse 3. Comparative religion is one of Satan's devices. Comparing Christ with other men confuses matters and is nothing but a device pleasing to the heart of men who know not the Lord. This is he of whom I speak, said John, and this is the he who speaks in our text. The he of the third verse, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one. There is but one morning star, one sun of righteousness, one foundation laid in Zion. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There is but one name above all other names, one refuge for sinners, one foundation to build on, one blessed God in human nature to go to, one open fountain for sin and uncleanness, one person to whom people chastened of God are united eternally and united in time by faith. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. After speaking to the wicked cities Chorazin and Capernaum, telling them the awful prospect of punishment that was before them, and how it would be more tolerable for the cities which had been destroyed, Sodom, Tyre and Sidon, than for themselves, the Lord Jesus takes another view, turns his face to God his Father, and begins to thank him. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. The sovereignty of God is tremendous. It calls for reverent attention. May it humble us, and may we bow before him, before whom his only begotten Son in human nature bowed and gave thanks. I thank thee, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Babies who in unassuming docility listened to the voice of the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice. What a mercy it is to have a teachable, docile spirit such as God gives to all his children, saying humbly before the Lord, that which I see not, teach thou me. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Such a spirit, given by God, is owned by him. Such prayers going out of hearts, feeling their need, get answers in time. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. Answering all the objections that our hearts can conceive, all objections on the ground of seeming injustice and iniquity, not by giving reasons which would appeal to fallen human judgment. God giveth not account of any of his matters, but by asserting divine sovereignty. Have you had grace to bow to that? Have you had teaching in your hearts that has made you know that you deserve the worst, even perdition, and that if you have hope, it is entirely due to the sovereign goodness of God? Even so, Father. Even so it is that these babes, babe-like men in their spirit, have given to them the knowledge of Christ, and of things which pertain to salvation, things hidden from the wise and prudent of this world. What are we by nature in our first head, Adam? We are sinners. What does God owe to us? Nothing but justice. What would justice be in us were it to come in its nakedness and glory? It would be everlasting condemnation and perdition. If then God owes us nothing but justice and comes with love, it is because it seemed good to him. As long as you think God owes you something, a chance in common with others, so long will he appear unjust to you if he does not give you something. But if your mouth is closed, if your conscience ratifies the judgment of God, if you feel that you deserve hell, that under the law Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Then how wonderful will grace appear, how beautiful will love appear, how wondrous will the Lord Jesus Christ be as the new and living way to the Father. Then the Lord Christ tells us that all things are delivered unto me of my Father. That is, all persons, all grace, all mercy, and all providence. In heaven and in earth, all power is given unto me of my Father. I, who am the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, have now this power in my hands to use for mine own glory. This, seen by faith, makes the Lord Jesus wonderful. It proves his divinity, his wisdom, his greatness, and his mercy, and draws the hearts of his people after himself, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Never try to understand the subsistence of the Son and his eternal relationship as Son to the Father. Never attempt to fathom the subsistence of the eternal Spirit and his procession from the Father and the Son. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, in whose bosom the Son was eternally. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. It must have been a wonderful manifestation to Thomas of the Father when Christ said to him, "He that has seen me hath seen the Father." For one would believe that at that moment the scales fell from his eyes and he gazed on the Father dwelling in the Son. Do you feel the need of knowing the Father? And do you realize how unable you are to attain to that knowledge? And do you feel that there is one who can introduce you to the Father, even the Son? Then you will be asking for a manifestation or revelation of the Father. Revelation, revelation, revelation is the rule by which we must walk the ways of God. For God himself, what he is, what he has purposed, and what he possesses. He has given into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ reveals those things as he will to whomsoever he will reveal him. This person, so wonderful, speaks this invitation, "Come unto me." Me, to whom the Father has delivered all things. Me, the only begotten Son of God. I who know the Father and am able to reveal the Father. Come unto me. I can do for you the relief you need, the supplies you need, the mercy and the forgiveness and the justification and the sanctification and the perseverance that you need. I can give you all. And as you come to me, I will do it. There is no peradventure as to the result of your coming. No, perhaps you shall get it, but certainly you shall receive it. I will. If he will, who shall prevent? What can hinder? We have in the text, first, the condition of the people invited. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. We have in the second place the invitation, come unto me. And in the third place we have the promise, I will give you rest. First, the condition of the invited. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. Labour makes rest sweet. The sleep of the labouring man is sweet. Labour is fatiguing and exhausting. There is a labour in which the children of God are exercised. Ignorance, many fears, deep guilt and powerful sin will make a labour for everyone born again and not brought into liberty. And this labour many of you doubtless know. It takes the mind away from time. It fixes the eye on eternity. God is before that person who is labouring. Can a poor guilty creature be made fit for eternity and be the guest of God through eternity? Can these sins so mighty, this guilt so deep in its stain, this unworthiness so boundless be removed? Can I, an alien, be made a friend, a stranger, be made a child, a soul deformed by sin, be made comely in the sight of God? Can I, far off and ignorant, be made nigh and understanding? Can one with such intense untowardness be made a lover and a follower of the Lord Jesus? These are questions which indicate hard labour of soul, labour under the law, hopeless labour to fulfil any single precept or commandment of the law. You labour with your perversities to overcome them and find yourselves daily overcome by them. You labour with your doubts as to what the end will be, even though at times you pray fervently and seek the face of God earnestly. It is hard labour to work out something that will recommend you to God. It is labour to get a better frame of mind so that you might pray with hope. It is labour to get a soft heart so that you might not have that hardness within you when you pray. It is labour to judge rightly of him of whom you are not ignorant. This is heavy work. It is labour to be under some providential trial of which you cannot rid yourself, and labour to judge God is right when he seems not to be. Heavy laden, laden with the guilt of all your failures and all your burdens and sins. You are like a burden bearer whose burden is larger and heavier than himself, and who knows that if he takes one false step, he will be crushed under his burden. And so he is ready to halt. You cannot stand still. You cannot go forward and would not go backward. You are burdened with care, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This is the care of your soul, the care that your circumstances bring. It is care about eternity, about God's character, and whether you will be with him in heaven or be banished from him. You are burdened, heavy laden, and you will be casting about in your mind as to how you can obtain relief. Who can help me? Bring me forth. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me." Let us look a little at this great invitation. It is great because of him who speaks it. It is great because it covers the whole case. No matter what the case may be, the invitation covers it. It covers it as the body of the prophet covered the dead body of that son that was lying in the chamber. Christ will cover your case, sinner, whatever it may be. This invitation discovers to us that Christ is approachable. If you have it discovered to you that you may approach God in your own nature, that you may come to Jesus Christ, it will be a wonderful discovery. You will look with amazement. You will look with a moved heart. What? Me? May such a sinner with such sins and guilt, untowardness and failures, may such a person come? Yes, Christ is approachable. He would not say, "Come unto me," if he were not approachable. Dost thou believe this, poor sinner, with all thy fears and trembling, that Christ is approachable, that he has blessings to impart? Then this will greatly enable you and sweetly move you after him. Lo, glad I come, and thou, blessed Lamb, shall take me to thee as I am. The willingness of Christ, the approachableness of Christ, the goodness and the suitableness of Christ to sinners, no tongue can ever adequately express. Come, poor sinner, if you tremble at the majesty of God, the person of Christ will not make you afraid. He is full of compassion and tenderness, and he calls his children his brethren, and indeed he is their brother. He is their brother, for he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. When you come to Christ, you come to one who is not a stranger to your nature, but who has all power to help you, and kindness, and mercy, and willingness to do so. To one who has everything in himself that you both need and desire to possess. Therefore, come to this approachable one. Let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requireth is to feel your need of him. This he gives you, 'tis his spirit's rising beam. Do you ever get a glimpse of Jesus Christ? If you do, you will find an attraction. You find a drawing power. You must go to him. You cannot get the most transient glimpse of the Lord Jesus and not go to him. Come unto me. It means come by faith. It means make your case known. It means confess your sins. It means entreat his mercy. Lazy desires in the sluggard kill him. Fervent petitions in one whose case presses on his heart will move him, and with some alacrity at times he will go to Christ, running after him, saying, My soul followeth hard after thee. 'Tis a great thing to have a spirit to go to Christ. It is one of the kindnesses of the Holy Ghost to inspire us with fervent desires to be at the footstool of Christ. Come unto me. Come to me for what I have to bestow. Come to me, first of all, for salvation. The knowledge of salvation and the remission of sins is given by Christ. He is exalted, a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. 'Tis a great thing to be bad enough for Christ, to be lost enough for his salvation. It is a great thing to realise your own filthy rags, that they may be removed and you may be given a change of raiment. It is a great thing to believe in that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness, to perceive that you are in that case, that you never can hope to be in the presence of God unless you are cleansed from all unrighteousness by being plunged into that fountain. Christ has blessings to impart. The first thing that an awakened person seeks is the salvation of his soul and the knowledge of that salvation by the remission of his sins. There are many blessings given to sinners before they get these full blessings. Many helps, such as good times in reading the scriptures, good times in private prayer, sometimes in hearing the preaching of the word, some helps in the hymns, but the one thing that sets a sinner at rest is the knowledge of his own salvation by the remission of his sins. This is the thing the people of God really believe in and seek. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Come to Christ for it. God has put all in him that can be needed. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Come to Christ for love. You get troubled probably because you cannot love the Lord as you would. Sometimes you doubt if you ever have had love for him. Come to him for love. His love will make you love him. His love felt in your heart will make your heart glow with love to him. You will say when you get his love, Jesus, I love thy charming name. 'Tis music in my ear. Fain would I sound it out so loud that earth and heaven might hear. What he is then you cannot say, fairer than the children of men, more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey, more glorious than wisdom, whose price is above rubies, wisdom to whom none can be compared. Christ is love, God is love, and if you feel in your heart and wish to love him, he says, come unto me, and I will give it you. The grace of love is born of the unbegotten love of God to sinners. The religion of Jesus Christ is emphatically a religion of love, and to whom that love is made known loves Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. Come unto me for the subjection of your sins. You will never succeed in subduing your own iniquities, for they watch in vain who keep the city without God. They labour in vain to build who do so without God. How much more must we say, they labour in vain who seek to arrest and chain up and cast out their own sins. The promise is, he shall subdue our iniquities. It runs thus, sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Christ has this blessing, and when we who are exercised toward God feel everything that is evil rising up and threatening to overcome us and destroy us forever, are enabled to go to him, we find that there is power upon our lusts and a hand upon our sins so that they do not prevail. You may say, iniquities prevail against me. But the day will come when you will add, as for our transgressions, thou shalt purge them away. Come to me for the subjection of your sins. Come unto me for grace to hold on your way. The righteous shall hold on his way. He does it in his felt weakness. He does it with all his painful inability. He does it when he cries to God. He does it not by having a stock delivered into his hand to manage as best he can, but by having a little help here and a little help there, by an errand to the throne of grace, by a spirit of grace and supplication, by some word either reproving or exhorting or comforting, and he does it day by day. If you expect a stock in hand, you will be disappointed. But if you look to the Lord for grace to help you through, you will never be disappointed. I will help thee, is his gracious word. Come unto me for grace to persevere. Come unto me for communion with God. When you commune with your own heart on your bed, you will have many a sad hour. As you commune about your case with yourself, you will have many a sinking. As you are enabled to go to Christ for communion, he will let out some of the secrets of the Almighty to you. Listen to his gracious word. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. In his prayer recorded in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus says to his Father, I have given unto them the words thou gavest me. That was communion. That was receiving of the blessed word of the living God, making known to those to whom such grace was given and such favour conferred, the will of God concerning them and the love of God for them, and the grace of Christ given them in eternity by the Father. When God makes known something of his will to a sinner, he does it by Jesus Christ. You will get communion in this way, and in this way only. Come unto me for views of the glory of God, the glory of God in Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. The glory of the gracious love of God was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. The glory of the descent of the Holy Spirit on the Lord Jesus flows from him to all the body. The glory of God in forgiving sins and sanctifying sinners, that they may be one, even as we are one. Loved with the same love, justified in the righteousness of Christ, and united to Christ. This glory can only beam on a sinner's heart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you find sometimes in your hearts, you who know and fear the Lord, a desire to know more of him and to see more of his glory? Then come unto me, says Christ, come unto me. Come unto me for help in trouble. Christ is a very present help in trouble. Trouble, we all have it. Man that is born of a woman is full of trouble. Born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. All things are full of labour, and there is no rest for sinners in themselves. There is no peace for sinners out of Christ. There is no rest in this world. The world is in a whirl, and we are all troubled in one way or another. There is no rest but in the Church of God. The Church assumes another aspect and has another name. It may be quite common trouble, common to all men, such as bereavement, bodily affliction, or some adversity in circumstances, and yet coming to a child of God, it assumes another aspect and it has another name. What is that other aspect? It is chastening. What is the name God has given it? Chastisement. Chastisement is very different from ordinary trouble. There are plenty of rods in the world, but if your son disobeys you, your rod for him is chastening. It is the Father's hand and the Father's love that dictates the laying on of that rod. So, in the Church of God, trouble has this wondrous name, chastisement. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And this gives an errand to the Lord Jesus. Come unto me, he says, I will help thee. Peter says, cast in all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The care of Christ is manifested in the church by chastening as well as in other ways. Do not forget it. May the Lord cause us to remember it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Love will build a wall of hewn stone round you if you are determined to have your own way. Love will set a hedge of thorns about you if you are determined to go here and there. Love will be such that while you won't get over it, you won't bring it down. Nature says, this is not kind, this is not wise. Faith says, this is God's kindness. This is one way in which he is showing his care and his love to you, in a jealousy for which at times you will be thankful. Come unto me in your troubles. What for? First, for submission to the will of God that has laid it on you. Non-submission belongs to our fallen nature. Submission is the gift of God. Pray, says the Lord Jesus, in response to the request of his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Pray, he said, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Then you say, thy will be done in my heart, Lord, Let my heart really say, thy will be done. Secondly, you turn to Christ in your troubles for grace to deeply and powerfully sanctify the trouble to you, to wean you from the world and to wean you from yourself, that lordly, proud, haughty, independent, worldly self. He will bring you more and more to your knees, more and more to the throne of his heavenly grace, more and more to live on his fullness, more and more to adore and worship and follow and trust him. We need it. Every child of God will say that. Come unto me. As we may be taught of God, this invitation, which is so suitable, so beautiful, so extensive, so all-covering, will appear to us to be just what we need. It will show us the approachableness of Christ, a truth most blessed and comfortable. It will show us a full Christ for an empty sinner, a mighty God for a weak creature, a sin-pardoning God for one who sins as the sand of the seashore for number. Come unto me, all things are in my hand, all blessings and all goodness. Come unto me, and you cannot be poor. May the Lord help us to come. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £670, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach this evening, Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold their Thanksgiving service on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 1062. King of kings and Lord of lords, these are great and awful words. 'Tis to Jesus they belong. Let his people raise their song. Hymn 1062.
service here this morning. And Lord, you grant us forgiving mercy for anything that may have been wrong in my sight, everything that has been wrong in our hearts. And Lord, do truly bless thy word. Lord, we've heard and read of those solemn warnings and rebukes, and those gracious blessings and invitations. Through Jesus Christ, I know we do pray that thou will bless and apply these truths to each of our hearts. We pray with thy disciples, O Lord, increase our faith. And now we pray too that thou will enable us now to take thy word home with us in our hearts. Lord, don't leave us just to leave it all here. But Lord, may it stay with us, and may it do us each good in the various ways that we may be, Lord, down on us. Oh, we do believe, though, above all, grant thy spirit to apply it to our hearts. We pray, Lord, help us each now through the rest of the day. Keep us, Lord, from grieving thee in our thoughts, our words, and our actions. Give us each a right spirit on thy day. Do bless the Sunday school this afternoon. Do bring us each back here again this evening if it's either one, to hear thy word. Give us each, Lord, that true prayerful earnest desire, that we may come rightly to worship thee and to hear thy word to our souls. And we do pray especially for thy servant. Do strengthen him and help him through the day, and bring him here tonight. And Lord, do truly give him thy word, that thou wilt speak to us here. Oh, do favour us then tonight with thy presence as we meet with thee. And now, O Lord, may the love of God the Father and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, communion of the Holy Spirit, be known by us each and abide with us each. And we ask these mercies for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.